Welcome to Emil Franzink's Voices of the West, dedicated to the principle that America was better off when our TV shows featured cowboys instead of warriors.
Well, of course. Welcome to another edition of Emil Franzink's Voices of the West. I'm Harry Alexander. Bunker de France is across the table from
me. Yes, I am.
In the Los Angeles area is our good friend Todd Roberts. Howdy.
Howdy.
Howdy. Where are we? Howdy, howdy, and howdy.
Howdy down in the valley.
All right. We are back at the White Stallion Ranch. Last month, you will recall, we were down at the Empire.
That's where we were.
We're at the Empire Ranch showing Monty Walsh and talking with Todd about that because his dad produced the 1970 movie. And
Todd got to sit in the Chapman.
Yeah. And we had a good time with that. Good stuff. So it's another movie Saturday today. And this time we're going to tackle the comedy teams that made Westerns. Now, before you turn off
thing,
just listen for
a minute. Bear with us.
Just listen for a minute, and you'll learn something. What? I don't know, but I think you'll learn
A little history, a little storytelling, and a lot of BS.
Okay.
I can guarantee the audience, they're going to hear stories they've never heard before.
That is true. Okay, but before we get into that, we have this thing called Bunkers Bunkhouse, and
coming to you from Bunkers Bunkhouse is the... My God, I just got hit by a piano player.
That's the frog that's in honor of Uncle Alvin.
Is that the name of it?
Yeah, frog stomp.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool then. Okay, you'll stomp on that frog, will you?
All right.
You know what they call a flattened out frog? One has been run over on the highway.
I'll bite.
Just flattened. They call them a sail frog.
A sail frog.
Yeah, when we were kids, we used to go down the road and scrape up dead things on the road. And we'd flip him back and forth like a Frisbee. In fact, that's how the name of the Frisbee came. Because my Uncle Alvin had a cat named Frisbee that got missing, and then we found him down on the road, flattering the pancake. And we were playing with him, and this feller come by in a big, long, old Lincoln and said, "What are you kids doing?" And he says, "Well, we're playing with Frisbee." And we drove away. We noticed on his license plate it said Mattel. I don't know. Yeah, anyhow.
You had a very different childhood.
Oh, I hope so. Anyhow, we're bringing to you the good, the bad, and the bovine. The way it works is I start with today as a jumping off point, which is the 25th. But then I travel back 3 days in time and 3 days into the future, just because I can, and it's the magic of radio. And I'm going to start with October 23rd, 1903. And this is very apropos. Because Curly Howard, youngest of the five brothers, and a member of the Three Stooges, considered most popular and recognizable of the group, was born on that day.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
I'm a victim of circumstances. It's the circumstances. Yeah.
Boink.
Now, moving on to the 23rd of 1944, the Battle of Leyte Gulf, largest naval battle of World War II, begins in the Philippines. Now, on October 24, 1815, John Edwards, Union General, John Edwards, Union General, Civil War, sends U.S. Congress, serving U.S. Man, I'm screwed up.
That print is getting awfully close to the paper these days.
Yeah, well, my nose is rubbing the ink off. John Edwards, Union General, Civil War, served U.S. Congress for less than a year, was removed following allegations of fraud in his 1870 election. That's happening today.
Just like today.
Yes, it is.
Imagine.
Also, though, this is the really more important event of October 24th, was 1900. Mm-hmm. Mr. I. Stanford Jolly. Joined the world.
Yep.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite.
He is.
Henchies.
Good heavy.
Good henchy. And now the 25th, which is today, but not today because we're talking about 1764. John Adams, future president, marries Abigail Smith, and their letters to each other are archived, published, and analyzed in great detail and are considered a fantastic source of what was going on during that period.
People in that period were so much more articulate than they are, for the most part, than they are today.
I think a lot of it had to do with letter writing as opposed to texting.
And, yeah, talking on the phone.
Yeah.
Well, and reading.
And reading.
Also because of reading.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Well, you had to read those letters to get anything out of them.
For sure.
Yeah. Now, on the 26th, that's the day after tomorrow, or that's tomorrow, but not tomorrow, but in 1682.
Okay.
William Penn, English philosopher, founder of Pennsylvania, accepts area around Delaware River from Duke of York. That Duke of York was a generous fellow.
Certainly was.
Now on the 27th, 1911, Leif Erikson, star of High Chaparral, a Navy World War II chief petty officer, Navy aviation, he was an aviation photographer unit in combat zones, shot down twice. It was in the unit that filmed the Japanese surrender on the USS Missouri, possessor of two Purple Hearts, which that hurts. And then we'll finish out the future week with October 28, 1886. The Statue of Liberty was dedicated, a gift from the people of France to the people of the U.S. It was dedicated by President Grover Cleveland, and the Frenchman said, "Mon Dieu, we got rid of that atrocity." That's it. That was the week that was.
Alrighty, and we're going to try and forget about it as quickly as possible.
Amen.
All right, let's get on to what this is all about today. And
get it started.
It's a movie Saturday, and what we do with the movie Saturday is we take a movie, we take a producer, an actor, or actors, and screenwriters, yeah, whatever, and we explore the movie and or the actor and or director.
Or the horses.
And horses as well, so...
Don't forget Ren Tin Tin.
No. And dogs.
Yeah.
Okay.
No parrots, though.
No parrots and no cats. And cats.
Oh, they had barn cats back then.
They did, but, you know, I saw on a Gunsmoke the other day, there was a cat.
A cat on the Gunsmoke?
A cat on Gunsmoke. It was running across the street, front street, and by God, it looked just like my cat, black and white, tuxedo.
Well, you know, I've noticed they don't use cats a lot in Westerns, but they use them just like they do in noir movies, detective movies, scary movies.
Yeah.
It's when the hero's going down the dark alley because we saw the bad guy go in there.
Yeah.
There's always a prop guy on the side that throws a cat at him. Yeah, exactly. Stunt cat.
Now. All right. We're going to start out with... perhaps one of the greatest comedy teams ever to grace the screen, and that would be Stan Laurel and Oliver Hardy. And the movie is called Way Out West, done in 1937. Stan and Ollie are enlisted to deliver the deed to a valuable gold mine to its rightful owner, but they soon discover that task is not as easy as it looks. And you can just see... You can just see Stan wringing his hands and whatever else. I mean, you know, come on.
Yeah. Well, you know, they give the deed to the wrong girl. That's part of the problem, you know. And this is one of their best. And it's the second picture that Laurel produced.
Wow.
He got into behind the camera stuff. And this is one of the first digitalized, colorized films.
Mm-hmm.
Topper, the Ghost movie was the first. And it also got an Oscar for Best Score nomination for Marvin Hatley. And yeah, what else we got here?
Well,
Hal Roach Studios.
Chill Wills was in it.
Yeah.
Lead singer of the singing quartet. And
what is it, the... Clovers? No, not the Clovers.
Let me see here.
Todd, what's the name of that group?
We'll get them here. Stan's bass singing. Could it be a fish? I don't know.
Okay, and they shot it out at the Trent Carr Ranch and also at Lake Sherwood.
Hank Bell was in it.
Mm-hmm.
The mustache.
The famous mustache.
The famous mustache. This was, what did I say, this was 1937? Yeah, 1937.
Yep.
And, you know, hey, if you want to have a good laugh, laugh with the best.
Hey, that's more than a good laugh. That's a belly laugh.
I think so.
Well, yeah, that's...
Let
that's,
me just say that nobody could deliver a throwaway line like Joe Mills.
No, nobody.
You know, in Giant, he has two masterful lines. After James Dean strikes oil and he comes over and gets in the fight, well, that's it. And he drives off and he sucker punches Buck Hudson twice in the stomach and he's doubled over and he can't stand up. But it was easy. I'm trying to roll him up. But Joe Wills is standing there on the course. He goes, "Rick, you should have killed that fellow a long time ago. Now he's too rich to kill." And
yeah.
Also, they're all sitting around having their political powwows, and Liz Taylor walks up. She's been playing tennis, and she hears them talking about this man, he's done this and he's done that. She says, with her sharp tongue, "Well, my father saved lives, and he was a doctor, and he saved lives. And he never asked for anything of it, you know, what was doing or whatever."
Yeah.
And she walks away, and the judge, who's, I forget his name, but the judge looks up and says, "Vic, that Leslie sure has a sharp tongue." And Joe Wells goes, "Fair enough, Judge. You smooth enough for two."
Bunker, go for it.
Well, actually, I'm going to throw a horse a different color in here.
Uh-oh. A Pinto?
No. In fact, I'm going to go up to 1979, and this is probably the strangest comedy team we'll have the whole day.
Owen Wilson and Jackie Chan.
No. I got them here, but that's okay. Not them. It's the villain with Kirk Douglas and Whiskey the Horse.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, they were just...
Whiskey is a character unto himself.
He is. And they're a team.
Yeah.
You know, that's my contribution. Although I will mention that they had Arnold Schwarzenegger in a skin-tight blue Lone Ranger outfit. That's a laugh in itself, as the handsome stranger. And then they had Paul Lynn as Nervous Elk, Indian Chief. And he was at his funniest, I think. Ruth Buzzy was there, Jack Elam, Strother Martin. Ann Margaret, she was there for Eye Candy. And she was there.
And Strother Martin was in there.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a movie. And filmed out at Old Tucson and surrounding
Nogales,
area.
Yeah. It's a Roadrunner cartoon, really is.
Yeah, exactly. Especially the scene where he goes to paint the cave.
Oh, God. There's a great story there. You know, when he's being chased by the boulders down the hill. I can't think of the guy. He's a special effects guy with Hal Needham. His name just left me. He's the guy that built the rocket car. Lydecker. That rock was remote control.
Mm-hmm.
He could speed it up, slow it down, turn it to the left or the right. It was so funny. I mean, that was a hard movie to work on because keeping the crew from laughing was almost impossible.
I imagine so. I mean, that you know, anybody who watches comedy stuff, comedians really have it good when they're able to mute the laughter and stuff. But I tell you what, you watch Carol Burnett and Harvey Korman and
Jim
Conway.
God, yeah.
Jim Conway.
Yeah.
Gone with the Wind.
Oh, God, Jim Conway.
And I consider that a Western.
Lionel Wagner.
Yeah.
But if we're going to talk about great actors and great horses and the team, we've got them in Cat Ballou, Lee Marvin.
Ah, yeah, Cat Ballou.
The horse in his acceptance speech from the Oxford.
Yeah.
He said, you know, I can't accept this without also giving a lot of thanks to a very special horse.
Yeah.
which obviously have some real talent. Most horses
are. All right. Todd, you got one you want to throw out?
Well, you know, I love the General with Buster Keaton, of course, which is kind of a Civil War picture, so it's a precursor to the West, but obviously the Civil War was the promoter of the Firestarter to the West, so
yep.
That qualifies. I love the General. And of course, Chaplin, and when he's hooking the shoe and needing the shoe, up in the cabin, he's all alone. You're talking about two guys that were really, really, yes, they were very funny, but they were real masters of film, and students of film.
Okay, I think with that, we're going to take our very first commercial break here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. I'm Harry Alexander, along with Bunker de France and Todd Roberts in Los Angeles. Movie Saturday at the White Stallion Ranch. We're talking movies, comedy teams. We'll be right back after these important messages. Don't run away.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the Hacienda. That's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallion.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management, where we manage money for gun owners. Some people view market declines as a time to panic. Good news, that's wrong. Markets have never gone down and then failed to come back to create new highs, and this time it's not different. Let me guide you to retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call Eb Wilkinson at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club is one of the best-kept economic secrets in town. This 900-member group maintains one of the finest shotgun shooting ranges in the country, featuring trap, skeet, five-stand, and sporting clays fields, and hosts national and international events that bring thousands of people and millions of dollars into our community. The Spring Satellite Grand American Tournament alone involves 1,200 participants for 10 days. Learn more about this and their other contributions to our community at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com.
Maybe we just don't believe in trouble and trouble till trouble troubles us.
I ain't so sure the marshal would shoot a man in the back.
Well, then he'll turn you around and shoot you.
This is the Voices of the West.
Back on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, Todd Roberts in Los Angeles. It's Movie Saturday. We're coming to you from the White Stallion Ranch, just north of Tucson. And all kinds of things happening over here. They opened up their remodeled lobby. And it's
half a building.
Half a building. It's absolutely beautiful, no question about it.
Yeah.
So, anywho, Movie Saturday for us, and we're talking about comedy teams that made westerns. some of them good, some of them maybe not so good, but fact of the matter is they made Westerns.
If it's a Western, it's got a better chance than all the rest.
There you go. Do you want to take one, or shall
sure,
I move
sure.
on?
You know, I'm gonna concentrate on teams and try and stay away from single comedians, but I want to start with probably what was the first Western comedy team.
Okay. There could
have been somebody earlier, but it's a team called Pokes and Jabs.
Okay.
And Bobby Burns and Walter Stoll.
Yeah.
They were silent film comedians between 1912 and 1917. They appeared in numerous short comedies, many of which were Western or a rural setting. And with that, I'm going to move into the one I want to talk about the most anyway.
Okay.
And that's Out West. But it's not the one. No, it's not the one you're thinking of.
All right.
This one was done in 1918. It was 25 minute black and white silent short. The production company was Commuke Comedy, and it was distributed by Paramount. The film is in public domain if you want to rush out and get it. The director and the writer was Roscoe Fatty Arbuckle. The name of the movie was Out West, as I said. Joseph N. Schenck was the producer-presenter. Natalie Talmadge, who also was later one of the stars, Buster Keaton's wife. Now,
when was that filmed?
1918.
That wasn't...
That's another one that comes along later.
Okay, yeah, that's not the one that was filmed out at Lone Pine.
Right. Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay.
Anyhow, and the other part of the trio here was Al St. John.
Yep.
Now, Keaton and Arbuckle did a whole bunch of stuff together, so they were a genuine team. And the director of photography was George Peters, edited by Herbert Warren. And Arbuckle, his character is train rider and bartender. And Buster was sheriff and saloon owner. Mm-hmm. And Al St. John was Wild Bill Hickok. Alice Lake was the leading lady. She was a Salvation Army woman. What was her name? I can't remember now. Anyhow, Joe Keaton is the man on the train. Ernie Morrison Sr. is black in the bar. And that's a controversial part of the film.
Mm.
Because the guys in the bar, Hickok and his gang, as along with Arbuckle and Keaton, the heroes, make the black gentleman dance by shooting around at his feet.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the people, the more modern people that can't look at a film in its proper contents, they go, oh my God, this is so racist.
I know.
But they don't realize this whole thing is set up so that the Salvation Army girl can come in, stop them, make them all feel bad about it. It was just a setup. It was just a film setup, storytelling. It wasn't done to besmirch anybody. And what else have we got here? Oh, and it says that Arbuckle and Keaton were probably the greatest comedy team of their era. And anyhow, it said, after escaping marauding Indians, wandering barkeeper teams up with saloon owner and finds himself up against ruthless outlaw Wild Bill Hickok, who is after Salvation Army girl. Keaton and Arbuckle worked as a comedy duo starting in the spring of 1917. There is a scene in there, and this is a famous scene. The train is going by. Arbuckle is standing there by the train.
Mm-hmm.
He rolls a cigarette one-handed, strikes a match off of the passing train, and then grabs onto the rail and leaps onto the train all in one shot.
Nice.
It is. And the thing is, what's interesting is we'll talk about Blazing Saddles. Well, this was a parody of William S. Hart movies.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And in
this movie, just get ready for this. Buster Keaton smiles.
Oh,
I guess it's worth watching just for that. And this is just a sidebar. I came across while I was looking this up a 1919 Swedish poster that was sold by Heritage for $4,320.
Goodness.
The locations are impressive, the sets are well executed, and the camera work is just excellent. That's my story.
All righty then. I've got Shooting Injuns from 1925, starring Our Gang. And for those who are not familiar with Our Gang, it's a compilation. Hal Roach Studios, bunches of kids that get into more trouble than they should and always find a way to get out of it. This time the gang decides to run away from home and go shoot Injuns, despite their parents' warnings. Traveling at night in the rain proves to be too eerie for the gang. They're always scared of cats. They seek refuge in a nearby house, unaware that the home is actually an inventor's model for a gimmick-laden magnetic house in the process of being sold to an amusement park. The terrifying contrivances frighten the gang beyond their wits, and they attempt to flee. Their parents eventually arrive to remedy the situation and end up getting involved with the gimmickry as well.
Seasonally topical.
You know, you probably couldn't make this picture today because of the scolds.
Alfalfa. And, what was the other little black guy's name?
Well, it was Alfalfa.
No, Alfalfa was the white guy with the cowhead.
Oh, yeah.
What was his name?
Yeah, I can't find him. Farina.
Yeah.
Alan Hoskins. Farina Hoskins. Mickey Daniels in it, Joe Cobb, Jackie Condon. This is before
Bobby Blake
joined the group, and Robert Blake, of course. So
you know that I wish they'd run those again, because I enjoyed them as a kid when they were early days of television.
Yeah,
I enjoyed them in my 20s when they resurrected again, and again about 20 years later.
Yep,
that'd be good.
Todd, what you got?
Well, I think it's we're talking about comedy and so on, but I think there's a lot to be recognized that all great comics and mainly I've always heard this from great dramatic actors, that comedy was much, much more difficult to perform than comedy drama is. So they all the great comedic, dramatic actors I knew all said, they looked up to great comedic actors more than other great dramatic actors. And I it's very hard to play comedy and do comedy with it coming off properly and without it going, too much jumping the shark, as they say in Hollywood, or becoming cornball. But, I love all the people we've spoke of. I also love the Marx Brothers a lot. They didn't really make Westerns, but I found them to be just as funny, if not funnier, than everybody else. And I always loved the story of Mark Groucho Marx. He had that great line that I shot an elephant in my pajamas this morning. How an elephant got in my pajamas, I'll never know.
And he also said, anyone who would want me as a member of their club, I would refuse.
Right. Yeah.
And he also said,
once he was with the woman,
Margaret Dumont.
Margaret Dumont. And
she said, great dog.
Hold me closer. He pulled her closer to him. And he pulled her even closer. And she said, closer. He said, if I pull you any closer, I'll be behind you.
Yeah.
I also love when Chico, the repertoire between him and Chico brought him once a piece of paper, some things that he had to read, and when he was the president of a mythic country, and he said, here are the orders.
Duck
and
soup.
He reads them and he says, I don't understand these. He goes, what are you talking about? How can you not understand this? A five-year-old kid can understand this. He says, really?
Give me a five-year-old
child to explain it to me. But my favorite story about the Marx Brothers, and I'll try to keep this as clean as I can.
Go for it.
The Marx Brothers went to a party in Hollywood, and Chico, you know, it's always said that Harpo was the lady chaser or the ladies' man, but, you know, Chico was gave him a hell of a run for his money. And Chico was desperately, horribly, horribly in love with Tallulah. He had a lust for her that was uncontrollable. And they go to this party, and as they walk in, the Marx Brothers look at Chico and say, okay, Chico, you've got to be in your best behavior because this is not like a normal party. These people are, you know, this is somebody's nice house. We've got to behave. And he's like, yeah, sure, no problem. So he looks over and he sees Tallulah Bankhead at the bar. And he saunters up to her and he goes, boy, I really want to make it with you. And she said, yes, and dear boy, you surely shall.
God, Marx Brothers, perhaps one of the greatest comedy teams around. I mean, yeah, it took four or five of them. There was a fifth, but one in there, Zeppo.
One never got into it.
And well, there was Zeppo, and there was also Gummo.
Yeah, so yeah.
But Zeppo was the good-looking one who could sing, but they all were classically trained.
Oh, very.
Musicians.
Yeah, very much
and
so.
It's been years and years in vaudeville.
Yeah.
But, you know, they had fun in real life, which is, I think, why they were so funny on film.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they would, for instance, they once went to Thalberg's office at MGM, and they were sitting out in the reception area, and Thalberg was late, and finally they waited for the secretary to get up and go to the ladies' room. So they went into Thalberg's office and locked the door. And Thalberg had a fireplace in his office. So they, you know, go in there, they lock the door. She doesn't know what to think. Thalberg shows up. He goes to open his door. Why is my door closed? Shit, I didn't notice. I'm sorry, Mr. Thalberg. Well, the door's locked, and he's like, is there anybody in here? And he can hear them laughing, but they won't answer him. And he's like, guys, open my door. Open my door. I'm back. I'm sorry that I was late. So finally, they had to call security, and security came up, and they picked the lock, and they opened the door. And there are the Marx Brothers standing there around the fire. They're all butt naked. They built a fire in the fireplace, and they're roasting marshmallows in his office. And he's like, what do you have the fire on for? It's summer. I'm boiling up in here. He goes, and one of them looked at him and said, well, take your clothes off. You'll get comfortable real quick.
Right. And the movie, the Western that the Marx Brothers did was called Go West in 1940. The synopsis is the Marx Brothers come to the rescue in the Wild West after a young man who's trying to settle an old family feud so he can marry the girl he loves. All of that nonsense runs afoul of crooks.
And this movie is famous for the train chase because they start, they run out of coal or wood,
so they
start demolishing the cars to keep the train. By the time they get there's nothing left but the engine and them.
All right.
Well, it's also important to remember that the great Buster Keaton wrote Go West.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
John Carroll is in it as well.
Wow. John Carroll, Diana Lewis, Walter Ruff King, George Lassie. That was shot out at Tulum, Tulumi. I can't talk. And Red Rock Canyon.
All right. Well, while Bunker gets that ink to get a little closer away from the paper, we're going to take our next commercial break.
It's not
here.
The paper, it's the eyes. The eyes are going.
We'll be back with much more on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West right after these important messages. Do not run away.
Can you even imagine switching back to pen and paper to run your business? Every year, we become more and more dependent upon our technology. If your network is not set up properly, you're just one click or one email away from losing data critical to your operation. Arizona Computer Guru offers a host of services to prevent and protect you from disaster. From online backup services to email filtering to fully managed network services, Arizona Computer Guru is here to keep your network secure, your data safe, and your budget in the black. To schedule your free consultation, call 304-8300.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
Besides bringing millions a year into this community with national and international events, the Tucson Trap and Skeet Club at 7800 West Old Ajo Highway services the local shooting sports community with a 380-acre site featuring trap, skeet, five stand, and two sporting clays fields, as well as a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, which all is available to local shooters, and soon, an archery range. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com or take a drive out west of town and see it for yourself. New members or single-day use, welcome.
Hello, I'm Mr. Red.
No doubt you've heard about rescue groups for dogs and cats, but did you know there's a rescue group for horses? That's right, it's called Horse It Around Rescue. Founders Steve Boyce and Teresa Worrell are helping out all those equine victims of neglect and cruelty by giving them a place to restore their health and wellness. And Horse It Around provides a nurturing and natural environment where horses can be horses, so they can be adopted out into forever homes. More than 120 horses, mules, and donkeys have been adopted out, but like everything else, it costs money to run the project. Horse It Around is a 501c3 nonprofit located in Southeast Arizona. Your tax-deductible donations to Horse It Around will go a long way so those horses can be horses. Check out the website, horseitaroundrescue.org. Make a difference in a horse's life. That's horseitaroundrescue.org.
I want out before we get caught.
We're not going to get caught. Our boys are too fast. Besides, don't the whole town respect us as vigilantes? Haven't we cleaned up all the rustlers? Isn't my palace saloon a perfect cover-up? And isn't your father above reproach?
Yes, we did a lot of good. Before you turned the vigilantes into the dirtiest bunch of bank robbers in Arizona, I tell you, I want out.
Now, you listen to me. One false move out of you, and I'll put you out for keeps.
I'll stick. But you better slow down, Cole.
Now you're talking. That's a lot better. You let me do the worrying.
This is the Voices of the West.
On Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, and Todd Roberts with you. We're doing Movie Saturday out at the White Stallion Ranch today, and our topic is Western comedy. Well, not Western comedy teams, but comedy teams that produced
in the
Westerns. Yeah, that's pretty much it there. Mm-hmm. Let's see. We did talk about... who did we talk about there? We just talked about... Help me out here. Oh, the Marx Brothers. And our studio audience, Barb White, is yes. with us. And so one of her faves is The Fighting Kentuckian, Oliver Hardy with John Wayne, done in 1949. Oh. In 1818, Alabama, French settlers are pitted against greedy land grabber Blake Randolph. But Kentucky militiaman John Breen, who's smitten with French gal Florette de Marchand, comes to the settlers' aid. Ollie plays Willie Payne. And following that movie, Wayne said the chemistry between him and Hardy was so incredible that he had a standing invite to make another movie with him. Unfortunately, that never happened.
Yeah, that is too bad. I think Hardy had another partner, didn't he?
He did, yes, and he had been ill, and so he was kind of recovering, and then he went back to his old part.
Doing street stuff.
Yep. Sure. All right, what you got?
Well, I've got The Outlaws is Coming.
Uh-oh.
That's the Stooges. This is a funny thing. Everybody thinks that it. Well, anyhow, they had a preview in Fort Worth, Texas, on New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. That was the first showing. Everybody thinks it showed later, but I don't know why I mentioned that. But it had a couple of working titles. Three Stooges Meet the Gunslingers, or How the Stooges Won the Wild, 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 Wild West. And what we got here? Columbia Pictures put it out. It was filmed between May 6th and the 24th of 1964. Norman Maurer was the director, the producer, and wrote the story for it. And Elwood Ullman did the screenplay. He did a bunch of the Stooges mm-hmm. stuff. Mm-hmm. Director of photographer was Irving Lipman, who was one of the rotating photographers on the Petrocelli series. Paul Dunlap was the composer. And Joe DiRita got top billing, Curly Joe.
Did you ever talk with the crew, on Petrocelli, with the crew that had worked all of these old things? You ever talk with them, get stories from them?
Whenever I could. Most of the time I didn't ask questions. I just sit there, let them tell their stories. Uh-huh. The best storytellers were on the westerns with the stuntmen and the Wranglers, and some of the old-time actors.
Yeah.
Although I would like a Chaparral, because we got some great old-time actors as guest stars or just doing guest parts. I would be like almost sitting in their chair with them. And Larry Fine got second billing, and Mo got third. Adam West was the young guy, and he played Kenneth Calvert. Nancy Novak was Annie Oakley. Mort Mills was Trigger Mortis. Don Lamon was Rene O'Rance Roden. He was, I think, one of the other villains. Rex Holman was the Sunstroke Kid. I'll skip that guy and go on to this guy here. Henry Gibson was Charlie Horse in this. And Murray Alper was Chief Crazy Horse. Tiny Brower, who did a lot of the Three Stooges stuff, was the bartender. Audrey Betts was the Fat Squash. That's probably politically incorrect, but that's what she was. Lloyd Kino was the Japanese mole. And Joe Bolton was Rob Dalton. Mm-hmm. Bill Camfield was Wyatt Earp. Mm-hmm. Hal Freyer was Johnny Ringo. Johnny Ginger was Billy the Kid. Mm-hmm. Wayne Mack was Jesse James. Ed T. McDonald was Bat Masterson. Bruce Sedley was Cole Younger. Paul Shannon was Wild Bill Hickok. Sally Starr was Belle Starr. And then George American Horse was an uncredited Indian.
Okay. All right, we're going to move up to 1959. And this movie is called Alias Jesse James.
Ooh, yeah.
It stars Bob Hope, and although Bing Crosby, Bob Hope and Bing Crosby did, I can't remember how many of the road pictures they did, but that's what they were kind of famous for. But Crosby is not a credited member of this particular cast for whatever reason, but I'm still going to include it in there because they were a comedy team in the movies.
You're stretching it.
I know I am. Outlaw T.J. Jesse James tries to kill insurance agent Milford Farnsworth.
Donald Carey.
Yeah, who's been mistaken for Jesse in order to collect on a $100,000 life insurance policy. And all the other funny stuff happens.
Well, you know, Hope did, Hope did some really funny comedy westerns.
Yeah.
Pale Face, Son of Pale Face.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he had a comedy team, him and Jane Russell.
Okay.
What a team, yeah.
Well, and he and Phyllis Diller.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That was Diller.
All right, going back to 1942, Ride'em Cowboy, Abbott and Costello.
Oh, yeah.
Two peanut vendors at a traveling rodeo show get in trouble with their boss and hide out on a railroad train heading west. They get jobs as cowboys on a dude ranch, despite the fact that both know nothing about cowboys, horses, or much of anything. You know, those guys were great.
I love, it's not that movie, but I love the one where the little chubby guy and what's her name, the Mexican Spitfire, Luke.
Yeah.
With the egg. that's classic. That's one of the things they were famous. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say I hate to blow the myth about Abbott and Costello, but at the end of their career, they couldn't speak to each other.
Yeah, only on stage.
Sounds like Martin and Lewis.
Well, no, Martin and Lewis could still communicate, but the tension was starting to grow, unfortunately. But Abbott and Costello literally had to have someone there to translate. So they would say to whoever it was, the second unit director, whoever, please go tell Mr. Costello that, I want to do this now or whatever. And so on. They would not speak. They could not speak to each other at all. Nothing. Not even a word.
Do we even know what precipitated that feud?
I think what happens with all of these partnerships, just like with every rock and roll band ever.
Yeah.
There's only two things that kill rock and roll bands, musical groups in general. It's either overly abundant egos or lack of success, lack of hits.
Women is another one, and drugs and alcohol is yet another.
Well, drugs and alcohol are a product of the egos.
Well, yeah.
So that
that's also how you come down from working.
Lack of hits. But in this case, with Costello, it's why are you getting more attention with it than I am? That's always the case with so many of these partnerships.
Yep.
It's unfortunate, but it's true.
Yeah, very much so. You got another one?
Yes, I do. In fact, this is an unusual team.
Okay.
But they work so well together, they should have done a whole bunch of movies. It was Glenn Ford and Henry Fonda in The Rounders with Old Fuller, the third part of the comedy team. It's an MGM film shot in Panavision. With director and screenwriter was Burt Kennedy, one of my favorite people from a novel by Vax Evans. And Sue Ann Langdon, Hope Holliday, Chill Wills, Edgar Buchanan, Kathleen Freeman, Joan Freeman, Denver Pyle, Barton McLean, Doodles Weaver. Man, what a cast. Shot in the beautiful Sedona area up there where Todd used to go to school. It's two cowboys and an ornery horse. Good bucking horse scenes. Should be in every home library, I think. Fess Parker had the first option on that. William Weldon was going to direct it, and the biggest fall guy, what was it? Oh, anyhow, the guys fall head and heel for that mean-eyed romp. Some bare-bedded black fillies.
You imagine what the movie might have been like if William Wellman had directed instead of who did direct?
I think Kennedy was probably the perfect guy to direct it because he had such a fine touch for cowboy comedy, to support your local sheriff,
support your local
gunfighter.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Hey, go ahead, Todd.
I just, there's a lot of what-ifs in the history of Hollywood, as we know, and some of them probably would have turned out better, and others would not have turned out better. But that's one that's interesting to explore because nobody can doubt the talent of William Wellman Sr. and his authenticity for the West.
For sure.
From the Oxbow incident alone to so many others. Wings, the first film to ever win an Oscar.
Yep.
Best Oscar, Best Picture. My dad made a film once called The Bank Shot with George C. Scott and Frank McCray, the great Frank McCray, and Joanna Cassidy, and Sorrel Brook, and a lot of great actors. Gower Champion directed it. It was written by, it was from a novel by Donald Westlake, who was a great, great comedian, kind novelist. And the picture just fell flat flat. But on paper, when you read the poster, you see all the names and all the people who were involved in it.
Yeah.
How do I not know this movie?
Really?
This must be hilariously funny.
Yeah, yeah.
And we went to the daily screenings, and we thought it was funny. My dad and I both laughed.
Yeah.
But it came out in the theaters, and, you know, as my dad used to say, it wasn't just a dog. It was a dog that had died a week ago.
All right. We're going to take our final commercial break here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, Todd Roberts in Los Angeles. We've got a bit more to go right after these important messages. Stay tuned.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true west, where a large number of westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the hacienda. That's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallion.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management, where we manage money for gun owners. When people turn 50, something miraculous happens. They start to get serious about retirement planning. They've done very well so far and want to be certain they power into the retirement they've earned. Let me guide you to retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club dates from 1948 and is now at 7800 West Ol Ajo Highway. The club owns 80 acres and leases 300 more from Pima County that supports 50 trap fields, 15 skeet fields, 2 5-stand fields, 2 sporting plays courses with 12 stations each, a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, 200 full-service RV hookups for members, and free Wi-Fi. This expansive facility gives enough room to host major national and international events annually, bringing thousands of people to the community. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSki.com.
With this deposit of tungsten I've discovered, our country will soon be independent of any outside source of supply. That's why I've got to contact the authorities.
But you're in no condition to travel. Pancho and I will get work through for you.
But it may mean your death.
Well, we can't live forever. Besides, this is our country too. If it's good enough to live in, it's good enough to fight for. Right, Pancho?
Hey, you know, one thing my papa always told me when I was a little boy, keep 2 things in your heart, Pancho. Your God and your country.
And to which I say amen.
This is the Voices of the West.
Well, the crop's all in and the work's all done. Gonna clean up the barn and have a lot of fun. Throw salt on the floor, sweep it all around. Do the boogie to the salty sound. Hey, shovel on the salt, boogie on the salt. If you don't have...
How many of you remember Little Jimmy Dickens, man?
I love
Jimmy Dickens. I love that song.
Take a cold tater and wait.
I know.
The cold tater?
Yeah.
I always said, don't touch the chicken. Take a cold tater and wait.
That's the salty boogie from Little Jimmy there, man. Good stuff. Really good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, we're on the tail end here of what's going on. I've got... Where the hell is it? Can't find it on my computer.
You need my glasses?
No, it'd be worse than my glasses.
My turn.
Yeah, right.
Let me do a bit of a reach here.
Sure.
And just try to illustrate how deep westerns go and how wide they go. when the Marx Brothers they were all over town. They went everywhere. But they liked to go to certain places after it was closed so they could be by themselves. They used to go to Schwab's Pharmacy on Sunset Boulevard, Sunset and Crescent Heights, specifically in West Hollywood, across the street from the Garden of Allah, which was a complex of little bungalows where Hollywood elites would basically go to dry out or go on a drunk or have an affair. Across the street was Schwab's Pharmacy, where everybody went all the time. You see it really well illustrated in the film Sunset Boulevard. So the place would close 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. There were big glass doors in the front, at the front door on Sunset Boulevard. And Mr. Schwab, from his desk, could look out and look at the entire store. It had big glass plate windows on the second floor. And he could look out and see somebody at the front door. And after they would close and the employees would go home, he'd be still sitting there working, and he could hear somebody rapping hard on the glass doors. And he'd try not to look up, but they would kept going. And finally he'd look up, and he knew who it was. It was the Marx Brothers. And they were waving him down, and he was like waving them off, leave me alone, go home, it's too late. And so he finally figured out they were not going to leave. They would not take no for an answer. So he'd come down and he wouldn't unlock the door, but he'd talk through the glass doors and he'd say, listen, guys, it's late. I got to get finished. I got to go home. And they'd say, come on, just open up just for 10 minutes, just 10 minutes. And he'd say, you know, it's not for 10 minutes. And they'd pull out a $100 bill. Now this is in the '30s. Or the '20s, they'd pull out a $100 bill and they'd push it through the glass doors and then say, here, this will make it worth your while. So he'd take it and open up, and they would grab the little Indian bows and arrows and headdresses and the gun belts, and they would have running shootout battles up and down the aisles of the store for hours and hours and hours. And then finally he'd say, okay, I really got to go home now. And they would say, okay. And they'd say, thanks. And they'd take the stuff and go home.
It's amazing that none of that stuff was captured on film, because it'd be good viewing, I tell you.
Oh, yeah.
So what it says is the Marx Brothers, even the Marx Brothers,
Yeah. All right, we're about out of time here, and I'm just going to add a couple of ideas as far as Western comedy teams. I'm going to go out and say any Three Musketeers movie, because you got Alibi as the jokester and Corrigan as the straight man.
Okay.
All right.
I think and only to your point, Gary, take it a step farther, is the ultimate Western comedian is Gabby Hayes.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
Fuzzy St. John comes in second,
mm-hmm.
or maybe third. Smiley Burnett is
yep.
in there. Pat Buttram's in there. Andy Devine's
yep.
in there.
Yep.
Well, we need to do comedy sidekick, not straight sidekicks, but comedy sidekicks.
Yeah, any Hoppy movie, I'm going to throw that out there as well.
California
yes. Carlson, and Gabby. Carlson. Gabby was in those too, and any Buster yeah. Crabby and Al St. John Western.
I want to throw something yeah. out at you. Think about this: Henry Fonda. You team him up with Jimmy Stewart. You got the Cheyenne Social Club.
Right.
You know, Fonda, you know, everybody thinks he's such a straight guy, and he plays a very, he's definitely a what's the other guy's name?
Abbott.
He's definitely an Abbott character.
Yeah.
Abbott!
Good stuff, and if you haven't seen any of these movies, well, find them. I'm sure you can find them on the YouTube or whatever streaming platform you use, because we don't watch over the... Well, Bunker's the only one who watches over-the-air television these days.
Hey, that's where the good stuff is. Wrestling.
Now we're talking. All right, that's it for this edition of Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. We'll talk at you next Saturday and be at the East Side Ranch at that point.
78, 79, 80 O's, and get your chuckles on with comedy teams in the Old West.
So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Emil Franzing's Voices of the West.